Rarely would such a gesture prove to be a good idea. Drizzt looked over the newcomer carefully, then turned to Catti Bree, who merely shrugged.
"Do," he said to Braylon. "The road is dangerous this time of year. We could use another sword."
He looked to the left, to one fallen blade, then to the other, across to the right.
"Or two."
They set off soon after, Braylon taking point far out in front, on Drizzt's order.
"Rumblebelly beat himself a drow elf,"
Brunner said when at last Braylon was out of earshot.
"That's my pony's name," Regis replied, evenly and in all seriousness.
"Aye? And what's your own name, then?"
asked the laughing dwarf. Regis straightened his shoulders.
"Spider," he said. "Aye. Spider Paraffin of Marauda Topolino."
"Aye, well, there's a mouthful."
"Then what of yourself?" the halfling asked.
"Was known as Reginald Roundshield, or the Adbar Roundshields," Brunner answered. "Little RR, some called me. But don't think of doing that yourself, or know that I'll put me fist in your eye."
He stomped his heavy boot on the footboard of the wagon and declared,
"Brunner's me name, and none other. Brunner Battlehammer of Mithril Hall."
"And you are Rukia,"
Regis said to Catti Bree, who walked her mount casually across the wagon from him and his pony.
"Daughter of Niraj and Kavita of Desai, raised on the plains of Netheril."
She had told him the tales, of course, over the long days of the previous winter.
"I was," she corrected. "And now I am who I have always been."
"What of yourself, boy?" Brunner asked of Wolfgar. "Ye ain't telled us who ye been."
"Hrolf, son of Alfarin of the tribe of the Elk," Wolfgar answered.
"Born of your own people then," said Brunner. "Ah, but ye found a bit of good luck in that."
Regis nodded, but as he considered the grand road that had brought him back to his friends, as he thought of beautiful Denala Topolino and the grandfather, and of Dorigardo and the grinning ponies, he found that he could not agree with Brunner's assessment.
"Hi, Captain Kurth,"
Regis informed his four companions when they noted the red-haired man approaching their camp just outside of Luskin's northern reaches. With Braylon and Jankay along, they had made an uneventful journey out of Icewind Dale and through the spine of the world. The five companions had camped outside the city, sending Braylon in on his word that he would find and retrieve Jarlaxle.
"Aye, Captain. Then he ain't likely alone," said Brunner. "Ye think the drow rat double-crossed herself?"
Drizzt was shaking his head, the others noted, but the look on his face was perplexed indeed. He knew this man from 20 years previous, but it seemed as if the red-haired fellow hadn't aged a day.
"Well met, and welcome back, Master Paraffin,"
High Captain Kurth greeted, offering a nod to Regis.
"Or do you prefer Spider?"
Regis tipped his beret.
"Serena sends her regards." "And mine to her, then," Regis replied.
"Beniago?" Drizzt asked, for of course he remembered the name. It had been nearly 2 decades, but to Drizzt, who had slept a magical night in Iruladun, where 18 years had passed on Faerun, it had only been a few 10 days.
"Well met again, Master Doerden,"
Beniago replied, but in a whisper, and he glanced around and patted the air with his hand, signaling them to be quiet.
"High Captain now,"
the man shrugged.
"Outlive your superiors, and the world is yours, yes?"
"Especially for those who are friends of Jarlaxle, I would imagine." Beniago grinned and shrugged.
"Your other friends passed by here a 10 day or so ago," he said.
"Other friends?"
Catti Bree asked.
"And Treri and them strange ones," said Brunner, who had seen an unusual trio indeed,
a weirdly twisted tiefling, a boisterous female dwarf, and a gray-skinned human in monk's robes,
on the side of Kelvin's cairn on the night he and the others had rejoined Drizzt.
Bound for?
Drizzt asked, nodding to Regis to confirm Bruner's guess. The man shifted uncomfortably, something both Drizzt and Catti Bree surely caught.
Who can say?
I have come to tell you, he paused and looked around.
Where are our manners? Drizzt asked.
A meal and a drink for our guest.
I already have one set, Wolfgar said from behind them, and they turned to see him rearranging the large stones they were using as seats to allow for one more.
The ease with which Wolfgar hoisted those rocks threw Drizzt back in time, for the man had apparently lost nothing of his uncanny strength in this second incarnation. They gathered around their campfire, and Drizzt called in Guinevere and set her off to make sure they were alone.
Should I warn her of your associates? Drizzt asked.
I came out alone, and dare not remain long, Ben Iago replied.
He looked around into the darkness, again seeming nervous.
I only came here because of your mutual friendship with one of my associates.
Drizzt started to ask, but Ben Iago held up his hand, as if he didn't want the name spoken aloud. Only then did Drizzt begin to fathom the gravity of the meeting.
The one you seek is not in Luskin,
Ben Iago explained, his voice going even quieter.
I doubt he will ever return, nor should you go in there, nor should you ever mention to anyone that you have traveled with Braille. For his sake, I beg of you.
The surprising request, and the even more surprising humility from one who was High Captain of Ship Kurth, and thus the nearest thing Luskin had to a ruler, set Drizzt back in his seat.
Eat,
Wolfgar offered, holding forth a bowl of stew, but Ben Iago shook his head and rose up.
Farewell, wherever you travel.
We're heading for,
Bruner started to say, but Ben Iago cut him short with an emphatic wave. The red-haired man bowed then and disappeared into the night.
Well, that was interesting, said Bruner when he was gone.
Regis looked at Drizzt.
Tiago Beenri,
Drizzt remarked, his voice still a whisper, and the halfling nodded and Catti Bree said,
Oh,
and also nodded, apparently catching on.
What are ye huffing about?
Bruner demanded.
I would guess more trouble has followed in Drizzt's wake than the demon fight at Bryn Shander's gate, said Regis.